in the name of Jesus. You know, for all the times that Jesus told his disciples that he was going to die for them, it doesn't seem like they ever heard him. Never, Lord. This will never happen to you. For all the times he spoke plainly to them, he told them about how he would be mocked and insulted and spat upon and flogged and finally killed, they'd still wonder what it was he was getting at. It's as if the only one who ever really heard him was Mary. It had only been a few weeks since her brother Lazarus had died, and then shortly after, Jesus had shown up. Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days by the time Jesus got there, and Mary fell down at his feet and she wept. And honestly, I don't know if her words are more complaint or more confession. Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus actually told his disciples that he was glad he wasn't there. He wanted them to see what was about to happen so that they would believe. So 4 days after they shut Lazarus up in his tomb, Jesus called him back out. If there had been any doubt in Mary's heart about who this Jesus was, well, that was gone now. Now, the Gospel accounts tell us a little bit about the grief of Mary and Martha at the death of their brother, but surprisingly little about their joy at receiving him back. The narrative doesn't include a tearful reunion or Lazarus' first words, or really any words from Lazarus, how long they cried, but you can kind of imagine it, right? If Jesus wept with sorrow at Lazarus' death, how much more would we expect him to be weeping with joy when he got to give Lazarus back to his sisters? So what's the appropriate way to say thank you to someone who gives you back a piece of your heart? What do you say to say thank you when someone raises your brother from the dead? Well, apparently they thought it was right, and it seems like a good idea to me, to thank Jesus by throwing a dinner party in his honor. Matthew and Luke both report that the party was hosted at the home of Simon the leper. Maybe that was someone else that Jesus had healed, whose life had been given back to him. Maybe the house was packed full of people who had been personally healed and helped and forgiven by Jesus. And Jesus went. All the times that Jesus wanted to downplay his divinity, didn't want stories about him to be spread around, this time he went. He felt it was appropriate at this time for him to be honored. And so some of his last steps led him to this dinner party. And John wrote when it took place. It said that Jesus came to this town of Bethany 6 days before the Passover, which meant that preparations for this feast were about to begin. According to the Jewish reckoning, a day ended at sundown, which also meant that sundown marked the beginning of the new day. The language in our text suggests that this dinner took place in the evening, so as soon as the sun fell past the horizon, it was then the fifth day before Passover. Exodus 12 tells us that that's the day that each household was to select the lamb that would be sacrificed. Mary had been listening. And so, just as before, when Jesus showed up at Lazarus' tomb, Mary fell down at Jesus' feet and she brought out an alabaster jar. Now, alabaster is a soft, smooth mineral. It's often used for carving, which means that the jar itself was an item of some value, maybe even a work of art. Well, Mary broke it open and released the powerful scent of nard, a perfume, a very expensive perfume, often used at a burial to cover the stench of death. And Mary broke this jar open. She planned to use all of it, and she poured it first on Jesus' head and then on his feet. She was not concerned about the cost, and I don't just mean the money. She let down her hair in public, uncommon to say the least, even scandalous. This is not just something that was not done. A woman's hair was thought to be closely connected to her virtue. Loose hair meant loose morals, right? So Mary took her honor and made it a towel for her Savior's feet. And can you imagine what it must have been like to be a witness at this event? It must have been kind of a spectacle, right? Right in the full view of everyone. What would people say? We don't do that here. Do you really need to be drawing this much attention to yourself? And imagine a hush would have fallen over the crowd, and as they all wondered, who would be the first to break the silence? It was Judas. What a waste. What a waste. A year's worth of wages dripping off of Jesus' feet and pooling on the floor. You could do so much good with 300 silver coins, right? And the disciples nodded in agreement. So wasteful, way too emotional, just too much. And as John wrote these words, so many decades after the fact, he made clear to us what he couldn't see at the time, that Judas didn't care about the poor. He only wanted to sell the perfume so he could skim a bit off the top. For all that Jesus did, all that he was willing to do, one was lost. And what happened to Judas? How did he go from being one of the 12, Jesus' handpicked inner circle, and clearly one who had a high degree of trust among the disciples as the one who handled the group's money, how did he go from that to what we see in this account? A thief. Disappointed at one lost opportunity to steal to line his own pocket. And worse, when he lost this opportunity, he sought out another one. He went to the chief priests and he made a deal to hand Jesus over in exchange for 30 silver coins. How could he have fallen so far? Well, the answer with Judas is the answer with most fallen saints. A little bit at a time. A sin that seems small is allowed to remain. It's allowed to grow. Maybe as a guilty pleasure, maybe just as a bad habit. For Judas, it was greed, but it could be anything, right? A little bit of gossip, a little bit of jealousy or resentment, an occasional lustful thought. We all have our particular weaknesses, temptations that are harder to resist than others. But let's just never think that any of them are small. Let's not think that there's something about any of us that makes us less susceptible to sin than Judas. Judas spent time daily with Jesus, and Jesus had made it his personal mission to bring Judas back to him, but Judas wouldn't let go of his sin. And when he finally saw it clearly, he saw what he had done and what he had become, he hung himself in despair. Now, I don't know at what point Judas pushed Jesus entirely out of his heart. But here, as he's dressing his greed up in piety, we can at least say that he's well on his way. Jesus had given this warning before. You can't serve two masters. You always end up hating one of them. Judas made his choice. And while it seems like Jesus usually tried to steer Judas back onto the right track gently, this time Judas had gone too far. He tried to take this beautiful thing that Mary was doing, anointing Jesus for his death, and he called it foolish. He called it bad. He called it a waste. And so Jesus said the same thing to Judas that he had said to Martha when she did the same thing. He said, "You leave her alone." And Mary, for her part, didn't seem fazed. She didn't stop. She didn't apologize. She didn't even seem to acknowledge their criticism because you know what? She wasn't doing it for them. She was doing it for her Savior. She was treating him as her king. And Jesus read her heart. He judged her actions and he deemed them good and he deemed them beautiful. And when she broke open that jar, Mary was, in a very real sense, breaking open her own heart. It was overflowing with faith and with love. And if it seems like the way she expressed it was just like a little bit too much, as if Mary could somehow be giving more than she ought, let's just get rid of the idea that any of us could ever outgive Jesus. Because just look at how Jesus honors Mary after she honored him. We read it in the Passion History earlier from Matthew, these words of Jesus. He said, "Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Here we are, remembering the gospel and remembering Mary. And do you get that connection? Mary's love and faithfulness, the gift that she gave, it will always be spoken of in the context of the gift that God gave. When his heart overflowed with love for us, he broke it open and he gave us his own son. His own son. The son he loved, the son with whom he was pleased, the son who had been with him from eternity. Our Father gave him as a gift to us. He made Jesus to be sin instead of us. He gave Jesus to die instead of us. The way the Father saw it, there was no cost too great. There was no price too high to get you. He chose his own son to be the Passover lamb. The once for all sacrifice on the altar of the cross, where Jesus went to stand between us and our enemies to save the world, no matter what it cost. To say to our enemies, sin, Satan, even death itself, leave them alone. And so let me ask you, how much is too much? What's the upper limit on giving back to Jesus? How do you say thank you to the one that gave us everything? New life, forgiveness, eternity with him. Well, I don't know. That's a matter for you to take up with the Lord in prayer. But I can say this. You can't outgive God. And praise God, he doesn't ask you to. When he tries to break our death grip on the things of this world, it's not because he wants those things for himself. It's because he wants us to grab onto him with both hands and to never let go. He doesn't want your money. He wants you. May God give us a sincere and uncomplicated and heartfelt devotion like Mary. When we give him our gifts, when we speak his name, when we praise him, let's just let it be too much. Let's let our worship be extravagant, because even if it seems like we're going too far, we're not. It's right to honor him, because the Father gave up his Son, and the Son gave up his own life so that he would have us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
This message was a production of St. Marcus Lutheran Church. For similar content, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or our YouTube channel. For more information about how to support our urban gospel ministry in Milwaukee, please visit stmarcus.org.